On the 250th anniversary of the birth of Ludwig van Beethoven, I, Patricia Salomone, present Beethoven, His Life and Times, with the assistance of my friend Gerald Fennec for the musical content. Beethoven had been in Teplitz for several weeks when he received news that his younger brother Johann was about to marry his housekeeper. The news shocked our musician, who, by now, was well known internationally and who, setting aside the liberal ideas of his youth, liked to consider himself of noble birth. In fact, people believed that his surname, van Beethoven, was equal to the noble von for Germanic ennobled families. This was a slip that he just allowed to go unnoticed. His acquaintances and he himself lived quite happily with this idea. So just the thought of being related to a housekeeper was anathema to him. Without a second thought to his poor health, Beethoven packed his bags and travelled south to Linz, where Johann Beethoven had settled, exercising his profession as apothecary. We must keep in mind the discomfort of travelling in those days in a horse-drawn coach rolling over rough dust roads. Besides, it was autumn, not the best time of the year for travel, especially for a man who suffered from poor health. But go to Linz he must, and try his hardest to put spokes in Johann's wheels to make sure he did not carry through with his dishonorable marriage plans. He would not put up with this woman, this Therese Obermeier, to carry the surname of van Beethoven. Nikolaus Johann van Beethoven was the more successful of Ludwig's two brothers. He had moved to Linz, where he bought an apothecary's shop in this Austrian town. Threatened with bankruptcy, he had resorted to all sorts of business deals to make both ends meet. The political situation came to his rescue. Napoleon's advance into Austria and his setting up camp in Linz in 1809 was to make Johann's fortune, for he was in the perfect situation to provide medical supplies for the wounded soldiers of the Grande Armée hospitalized in Linz. This brought him money, but also a certain amount of scorn on the part of the inhabitants of the town, who looked down upon him as being a collaborator of the enemy. In 1819, Johann von Beethoven became a squire, or landowner, when he purchased a manor estate in Kneißendorf, near Krems, on the Danube, west of Vienna, which Ludwig was to visit with his nephew Karl towards the end of his life. Johann was so proud of his newly acquired position that it is recorded that in a letter he sent his famous brother, he signed himself as Johann von Beethoven, landowner. To which Ludwig replied, signing as Ludwig von Beethoven, brain owner. This anecdote is sufficient to give us an idea of the strained relationship between the brothers. Ludwig tried his hardest to convince his brother to abandon the idea of marriage to Therese. What scandalized him most was the fact that Therese was what we would today call an unmarried mother. In fact, Therese had a young daughter from a previous relationship. Thank you. unsuccessful in convincing his brother, Ludwig went to extremes. He contacted the bishop, requesting that the churchman refuse to marry the couple on the grounds that Therese was a dishonorable woman. Having failed on this count, he requested the police to expel Therese from the town. This attempt, too, was unsuccessful. Needless to say, Johann was shocked and offended. The two brothers actually came to blows, and this brought shame to both in the town of Linz. Notwithstanding, Johann married Therese on the 8th of November 1812. But this marriage was to be unhappy, and the couple had no children. The American Beethoven scholar Meinhard Solomon says that the three Beethoven brothers were simply ill-equipped for marriage. Difficult men, these Beethoven brothers. Gerhard von Breuning, son of Ludwig's best friend Stefan von Breuning, gives a devastating critique of Johann. He writes, "For some years after the death of the great brain owner, his brother, the landowner, played a strange, naive role. During Ludwig's life, Johann's interest in his works was limited to possible gain from them. Now he tried to present himself as an appreciative admirer. At concert performances of music by his deceased brother, he would sit in the front row, all got up in a blue frock coat with white vest, and loudly shriek bravos from his big mouth at the end of every piece, beating his bony white-gloved hands together importantly. These oversized gloves with their flapping fingers could often be seen elsewhere as well, in the elegant drives of the Prater. All this pretentiousness, and in general the overall appearance of Johann, who bore no physical resemblance to Ludwig, he had a long face, big nose, one eye squinting outwards, giving his face an expression of perpetual self-satisfaction, earned him the nickname of Archduke Lawrence, from the familiar proverb about people who endeavour to put on a great show and conduct themselves ridiculously in the process." Johann died in Vienna in January 1848. He proved to be as preposterous after his brother's death as he had been contemptible during his brother's life. Certainly, this is not a positive description of Johannes Beethoven, the youngest of the three Beethoven brothers. Thank you. And what else, may I ask, did Ludwig van Beethoven do in Linz? We must bear in mind that he was famous, something like what we would today consider to be a pop star. There was no chance that his passing through Linz would go unnoticed by the music aficionados, the nobility of the town especially. Xavier Gogle, the Kapellmeister in Linz, announced in the Linzer Musikzeitung, and please notice the classic romantic vocabulary, "We now have the long-desired pleasure of welcoming to our city the Orpheus and greatest composer of our time, Herr Ludwig van Beethoven, who arrived here a few days ago. If Apollo is favorably disposed towards us, we shall also have an opportunity to admire his art." Friendship flourished between the two musicians, and Beethoven spent quite some time dining at Gogle's home. Years later, Xavier Gogle's son, Franz Gogle, later a music publisher in Vienna, wrote down his reminiscence of Beethoven. "Beethoven," he wrote, "was on intimate terms of friendship with my father, Kapellmeister of the cathedral in Linz. And when he was there in 1812, he was at our house every day and several times took meals with us. My father asked him for an equale for 6 trombones, as in his collection of old instruments he had a soprano and a quart trombone, whereas only alto, tenor, and bass trombones were commonly used. Beethoven wanted to hear an equale, such as was played at funerals in Linz, and one afternoon, when Beethoven was expected to dine with us, my father appointed 3 trombone players and had them play an equale as desired, after which Beethoven sat down and composed 1 for 6 trombones, which my father had his trombonists play." As was expected, the high society people of Linz welcomed his presence in their town and vied amongst themselves at inviting and exhibiting Beethoven in their salons. Most appreciated always were his improvisations. But, as we know, Beethoven deeply disliked being exhibited, and he did not particularly enjoy playing the piano to entertain a gathering of nobles. It was rather risky to invite him to do so. In fact, an amusing, if embarrassing, such event took place one evening in Linz. During a soiree in his honor, Beethoven was invited to play one of his improvisations. He flatly refused, and while the guest moved to the dining room for a meal, he sulked, and no amount of coercing could get him to join the gathering at the meal. Suddenly, when least expected, the sound of piano playing was heard from the adjacent room. Beethoven was doing exactly what all the guests were hoping for. Seated at the piano, he was displaying one of his renowned and never recorded improvisations. Suddenly he stopped, remembered that dinner had been served, and rushing to the dining table, crashed into it, sending the china crashing to the floor. Surprise and astonishment amongst the guests. And relief, of course, as the host saved the evening by escorting Beethoven to help himself at the dinner. We are now listening to the second movement of the Eighth Symphony, Allegretto, Scherzando, in fact. Beethoven concluded his Eighth Symphony while he was in Linz. Isn't it surprising that notwithstanding his ill health, his recent heartbreak, and his family troubles, the composer could come up with such light-hearted music? But this is the material that geniuses are made of. Unexpected ups and downs, big quarrels and deep regrets, joys and sorrows that make up the life of each and every one of us. but which only those gifted like Beethoven can express, be it in music or in other forms of art. Next week, we shall get to know a good bit about Ludwig van Beethoven's other brother, Karl, his marriage and the offspring of this marriage, which were to cause Ludwig much angst. With the notes of Symphony No. 3, the Eroica, I bid you farewell until the next episode on Tuesday at 8 p.m. with repeat on Wednesday at 10 a.m.